is Dickered Up. The official podcast of the Cars Tour is on the air. Presented by Puryear Tank Lines. The Cars Tour, the premier late model stock series. Short track racing at its very best. Stickered Up will feature A-list guests, the hottest topics, race previews, recaps, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If it happens on the Cars Tour, Stickered Up is chewing on it. Here's your host, Stephen Dunn.
Happy race week, everyone. Stephen Dunn, Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast for the Z-Max Cars Tour presented by Sound Gear. It is race week, and we head to one of the racetracks that's been on the series from year one, Hickory Motor Speedway, for the Tough Shed 250. Pro late models and late model stock cars will be in action this weekend. We got rained out at New River a couple weeks ago, and that race has been rescheduled for next Saturday, and then we follow that up with Orange County. So three straight consecutive weeks of racing for the Cars Tour. It will definitely be a busy April. Taking a quick look at the schedule for this weekend at Hickory Motor Speedway. Again, practice will start on Friday. The late model stock cars will take to the track at roughly 2 o'clock for an hour practice. Then they'll alternate with the pro late models with the final practice coming, ending at 6:25. Race cars and teams are back at the racetrack on Saturday. Saturday morning, late model stock car practice. They'll hit the racetrack at 11 o'clock for a 20-minute practice session. They'll alternate with the pro late models until 12:35. Grandstands open at 3 o'clock. Single car qualifying for the late model stock cars will take place at 4:30. Pro late models will qualify at 5 o'clock. All the cars will be gridded at 5:45 for a fan fest at 6 o'clock. Driver introductions at 7:05. And the start of the Tough Shed 250 will be at 7:30. Brandon Willard will wave that green flag. 100 laps for the pro late models and 150 laps for the late model stock cars. Typically one, you know, this is a racetrack that's always had that 150 lap race. So 25 more laps than what we're accustomed to with a late model feature. Taking a look at the pre-entry list for this weekend's Pro Late Model 100-lap feature, 27 cars on the entry list for this weekend. They include Kyle Campbell, Jimmy Renfro Jr., Tristan McKee, Brandon Lopez, Justin Kreider, Tyler Church, Ashton Higgins, Aiden King, Hudson Burglar, Chris Wright, Kyle Steckley, Jake Bowman, Caden Quapple, Max Cookston, Nick Loden, Joshua Horniman, Connor Jones, Dustin Bryson, Jeff Batten, Caden Honeycutt, Will Hell, Tyler Tanner, Katie Hettinger, Logan Jones, Max Reeves, TJ McClare, and Dylan Gardner. And then taking a quick look at the 30 cars that have pre-entered for this weekend's festivities. On the late model stock car side, again, they'll take 150 green flag laps around the Hickory Motor Speedway. They include Deke McCaskill, Ronnie Bassick Jr., Brendan Queen, Andrew Grady, Brandon Pierce, Bobby McCarty. Mason Diaz will be in the number 8 this weekend for Carson Quapple. He's making his debut at Martinsville in the Xfinity race this weekend. So Mason Diaz in the 8 car for Junior Motorsports this weekend. Buddy Iles Jr., Sam Butler back in competition this weekend in the Jimmy Moore number 14. Ryan Millington, Logan Clark, Chad McCombie, Connor Hall, Cade Brown, Cody Dumpster, Connor Zilich, Brett Cruz, Landon Huffman, Jonathan Finley, Bryce Applegate, Steven Nassi, Gio Ruggiero, Josh Kosnick, Landon Lewis, Cameron Boland, Katie Hettinger, Draven Lefschix, Minnie Tyrell, Connor Jones, and Jacob Hefner. We've got two drivers that will compete, do double duty this weekend with Katie Hettinger and both Connor Jones taking the green flag in both the pro late model and the late model stock car event. Brandon Willard has the caution flag out on this segment of Stickered Up. We'll take this opportunity. Come down pit road. Sticker up when we return. We will talk to one of the newest employees for the Cars Tour, Carson Elledge. You're listening to Stickered Up Podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. Puryear Tank Lines, a trucking company run by drivers for drivers. For over three generations, Puryear has been leading in driver happiness, client satisfaction, and safety. They love trucking, family, and racing. As a Puryear driver, you'll earn up to $100,000 per year plus exceptional benefits, including exclusive access to Puryear racing events. Enjoy flexible scheduling, career path opportunities, zero split seating, and much more. Visit drivepuryear.com to learn more.
Laser cutting and CNC bending. GeoCut for media blasting and surface conditioning. GeoCut, South Boston, Virginia for powder coating. GeoCut. On demand laser cut parts. Just go to geocutfabrication.com. Upload your part drawing. Select the material and quantity and then see your instant quote immediately with the option to order right then and there. 434-201-4824. Geocutfabrication.com. 611 Railroad Avenue, South Boston, Virginia. One part or 1 million parts. Geocut has you covered.
Mitty Tyrell, driver of the number 81 Quaker Steak Chevrolet, and you're listening to the Stickered Up Podcast with Stephen Dunn.
Rain flag back in the air this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast of the Z-Max Cars Tour Series presented by Sound Gear. Joining me via the GSX Wraps Hotline, one of the newest employees for the Z-Max Cars Tour. She is the Director of Digital Content Marketing and Partnerships. She is Carson Elledge. Carson, welcome to Stickered Up Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I love any excuse to talk and run my mouth. So I'm so glad that I get to do that today with you, especially.
Well, we thought it would definitely be worth having you come on, just with your family, obviously ownership in the Cars Tour, an opportunity for you, a lot of the things that you've been able to do. And we talked to race car drivers, not that you're not a race car driver. We'll talk about that towards the end of our conversation. But like we said, race car drivers seem to say the same thing. So I'm really excited about being able to chat with you and talk to you. And I guess, Carson, the first question I'll ask you is, you recently, you guys, it's about a month and a half, 2 months ago, it was announced that you were going to be full-time with the Cars Tour. Talk a little bit about what that means for you. Obviously, your Uncle Dale and your mom, Kelly, intricate parts of the Cars Tour. That's got to be a little bit of a challenging workspace, I would think.
It's actually funny that you say that point, because I always have made the comment, especially more into my adult life and you know, trying to pave my own path and figure out, you know, what it is that I want to do in life. I've always made the comment that I didn't want to work for my family. I wasn't going to work at Junior Motorsports, wasn't going to work for my mom, because also my mom and I are way too similar that it could get dangerous at times if there was a tiff between the two of us at work. So I've always said, you know, I'm never going to work there. I don't want to work for my family, but, you know, the Cars Tour was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. I have loved everything about the tour since the moment I was introduced to it, when I was working with Mamba Media a few years ago. And since then, I immersed myself a little bit more into it with my own personal company, 3-8 Creative. And as soon as there was a position for digital content and marketing, which is exactly what I was doing with my company, it would have been silly to say no. And obviously, Keely and I are extremely close, and I've been around the Cars Tour with Josh Berry and all of those guys racing for Junior Motorsports. So I've always just loved it, and it seems like the perfect fit. And so far, it's been awesome.
Carson, give me. I know that no day is the same, obviously, but what is a typical day working for the Cars Tour look like, especially on race week? I mean, a home game, so to speak, for you guys at Hickory this weekend, so it's not terribly far. You don't have to travel too far to get to the racetrack. But what does that week look like behind the scenes leading up to the actual Friday when cars show up?
Crazy, especially between Keely and I. You know, there's all these different parts that go into the backside and the business side of this tour that so many people have no idea about. And that's been something that's been really cool for me to put eyes on and for me to learn, because I've only ever seen it from the competitor side or from the side of freelance media. So to be immersed in it all and watching all the daily operations happen, I sit right across from Keely. We share an office. So, you know, even the things that don't pertain to marketing and partnerships and all of that, I still get to see all that goes on and learn about it and ask questions. And so our days on race weeks are pretty wild. It's just a matter of going through your checklist and making sure that everything's in the trailer, in the merchandise trailer, all the proper documents are sent to the proper people. And it can be a little bit crazy, but between Keely, Kip, and I, we have a pretty good system going. So far, nothing slipped through the cracks, I'll say.
Well, Carson, you obviously a racing name that everyone's familiar with the Earnhardt name. Obviously, your grandfather, a 7-time champion, your Uncle Dale in the NASCAR Hall of Fame as well, a co-owner of the Cars Tour. Obviously, and you have a racing pedigree. Your mom raced, both of your uncles raced, your grandfather raced, you race, your brother races. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the opportunity that you got not too long ago to be on a reality television show, Claim to Fame, which was on ABC. And obviously that the whole schematic behind that is that they are everybody that was on the show was had a very famous relative. Yours obviously being, well, you had multiple, but they put the focus on Dale Earnhardt Jr. But talk a little bit about that experience, because I'll be honest with you, I had no idea that you were on the show. And I was flipping through Hulu one night and I'm like, oh, let me check this out. And I literally, my jaw hit the ground when I saw you on television because I had no idea that you were doing this. I guess talk a little bit about how that all came about, how they reached out to you, and then kind of walk us through the process of getting there and what all was entailed with it.
Yeah. So at first I thought it was a scam, right? Because I received an Instagram message and I had never seen, I hadn't seen the show before they had reached out to me. But as soon as they did, I went back and watched the first season immediately. And I was like, this is absolutely something that I need to get involved in. So I received an Instagram message one day from a member of a casting agency, and she said, you know, we're casting season 2 of Claim to Fame, and wanted to hop on the phone with you, give you some information, see if you're interested. So I thought, you know, what the heck, right? I mean, a phone call's free. I won't be signing any contracts or anything. So I got on the phone, and from there, it was a whirlwind. It was a matter of, I would say, it was probably about, I would say midsummer till November, all the way to January when we left. But the process on the backside was probably from about the middle of the summer to November or December. And it was paperwork, interviews, background checks, mental health evaluations. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And then once we got the call in January that it was that we were going to be on the show, I packed up from there, and I was gone from the beginning of February to the first weekend of March, a whole month. And the crazy part was you had no phone, you had no computer, no outside communication with anybody the entire time you were there. So that part was a little bit hard to get adjusted to, obviously. I'm used to talking to my mom every day, and Keely, gosh, she missed me real bad. She would never admit that, but she did. And so it was a whole month, and the experience was just awesome. It was cool to not have your phone, as much as I thought I was going to be nervous about it. It was cool to not have it because you got to really just focus on everything that was going on and take it all in. And by the time it was over, I really didn't want my phone back because it was kind of nice not being bugged for so long.
You look at shows like that, and I won't spoil the ending if people do want to watch it. But it was you were on the chopping block on the very first episode. And you survived that particular elimination. Talk about your strategy to really get to where you ended up, which was pretty far down the pecking order. I mean, I thought you did a really good job, but just talk about the strategy and your thought process as you were going through this whole thing over that 1 month period.
So at first, when we first got in the house, the very first night when we met everybody and all got to know each other. There was a portion where we had to stand up in front of everyone and say two truths and a lie about our relative. And you had to say their relation to you, their occupation, or what they were most famous for, and then what the biggest award was that they had won. So I said that my relative was my uncle, but that he was a musician. And the biggest award that he had won was an induction into the Hall of Fame, because any other sports-related award would have immediately given me away. So I tried to go the musician route and throw them off there. And then we did a talent show challenge. So I sang in that, which when you go back and watch it, if you do, don't judge me. It was really bad. Trying to throw them off there. Well, because I was terrible, I think they caught on to me really quick. But from there, it was kind of just a matter of once you were in the house, it was more of listening to kind of what everyone else was saying and things that were flying around about you or your relative or things that would pop up in the challenges. You know, I didn't necessarily have a set strategy of how I was going to do it. I just kind of listened to the things that were being said about me or who they thought my relative was and just tried to play it from there. And it kind of, my acting skills from my Nickelodeon days came in quite handy there because I was in the hot seat more than once and they almost got me a couple times, but skated through for quite a while.
Now I have to ask about the Nickelodeon thing. I didn't know that you were Nickelodeon.
Oh, really?
No. Well, yeah, tell us about that.
In 2000, I want to say it would have been 15 and 16, or maybe, yeah, 15, 16. Nickelodeon had a Nick Sports channel, and we had a show called Hammer Down. It was my sister and I. We hosted it, and it was in three segments, and it was about NASCAR, and it was the point of it was to get the younger generation kind of more involved and to see all the things that go on behind the scenes that they can relate to or that they would find interesting. So it was in three segments, and we had the first one, I would do a little interview with a driver, or my sister would, and we would do like a rapid fire, more funny type style. And then the second segment was Ryan Blaney and Bubba Wallace. They did a little goofy part where they would do pranks and mess with people and things like that. And then the third section, at each track that we would film at, it was called Who Knew, and it would be just a fun fact or a fun portion to a racetrack or an event that, you know, that you wouldn't otherwise know. And that ran for 2 years on Nick Sports, and that was a fun little thing for my sister and I to do. So yeah, that's where my acting skills came in a little bit handy when it came to claim to fame.
Now I'm going to have to go look on YouTube and find that. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I know if anybody hasn't watched the show, it's claim to fame. It's on ABC. This was season two that our guest Carson Eldridge was a participant in. A lot of the challenges, a lot of the things that you had to do to avoid elimination, is there any one particular challenge that you enjoyed or you didn't enjoy as far as going through that whole thing? Because some of them were, you know, some of them had athletic ability. Some of them were more,
some of
you
them
know,
were gross.
Yes, they were, for sure.
I would say my least favorite was definitely the one where we had to stick half of our bodies basically in a barrel of fish chum.
Yeah.
And then proceed to run across a carpet full of Legos barefoot. And then after that, we were hooked up to a ab workout machine that shocked the hell out of you, and it hurt so bad. That one felt like borderline torture, but we survived. But I would say my favorite one, we did a telephone challenge, and yep. I am really good and sharp at like remembering stuff and reciting stuff. So that was fun for me because I was probably the best on my team at it, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. And again, we won't ruin it. We want people to go and look. I mean, I actually found it on Hulu. You can stream it, but it's Claim to Fame on ABC season two. And our guest Carson Eldridge did extremely well on that. Let me go back to this. You said that they reached out to you on Instagram. By any chance and some people that listen to the Dale Jr. Download, this became a topic for your uncle some time ago about your Instagram.
That was my TikTok.
Is it your TikTok? Okay.
My TikTok.
Okay. Is that any way related to how they reached out to you because of him sharing that information, or did they tell you kind of how they approached you?
So the TikTok thing was after the fact. Was after I had already started the whole process, but they, from what I understood, once I got on the show, I was talking to a few other cast members, and, you know, there is a section on ABC where you can go and apply and fill out a form, but we all ended up figuring out that all of us had been reached out to in the same way and asked to be on the show. So I think more than anything, like, their casting agencies just go and do all this research on people and whatnot. I'm not sure exactly how they found me. Yeah. I'm glad that they did, but it definitely was not from Dale blasting me on TikTok, although that would be funny.
You are pretty, I'm sitting here looking right now, you're pretty popular on X. Do you have any followers you have?
You think I'm popular on X?
You have 48,000 followers. I have like less than 1,000. No, this is your Carson Eldridge 3. This is your...
No, I said I have more followers in the car store.
Oh, wow. Don't tell.
That can't be.
Yeah, don't tell Dale or Kelly that. They'll be asking you to run. No, you're fine. Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, race and pedigree. We talked about that. You do a little bit of racing still, obviously with the midgets and the, is it midget sprint cars that you run? I know that you've run the Chili Bowl a couple of times, the midget. So yep. You've done the Chili Bowl a couple of times, and talk a little bit about, you know, kind of getting your feet back into the racing world and strapping the helmet back on.
Yeah. Last year, towards the end of last year, Millbridge, they decided to bring the open class back. And that was, the track that I grew up racing at, through all the ranks of outlaw carts, and, started when I was 9 and was there running opens until I went to midgets. So, those cars and that racetrack is really important to me. And it's really very near and dear to my heart. So when they announced that they were going to bring the open class back for a race at the end of last year, I knew I had to do it. So I bothered my dad quite a bit, and I was told no quite a bit also, but we all know, if you know me, I don't take no for an answer. So I ended up pulling the car together and went out there and ran in October, and did pretty well, actually. I was surprised for how long I had been out of the seat and how demanding those cars are. And I just had a blast. You know, it's always fun to go race for me when I can just have fun with it. So I think that's why I'm the most excited about getting to run a handful of races at Millbridge again this year, because it's just fun for me at this point. I'm not trying to make a career out of it. And also I get to run against my little brother Wyatt for the first time. So he's been talking all the smack and everything, but, just because it's a blast and I get to do it with my family and make memories, and it's less about, you know, the results and this and that. It's not serious anymore. It's just something that I get to go enjoy. And I think that's what makes me the most excited about it this year.
Carson, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the Cars Tour as a whole. Obviously, Cars Tour has been around for a long time, and with the new ownership group, that obviously with your uncle and your mom, a vital part of that. What are your expectations? What are your thoughts on 2024? Obviously, we're still very, very early. Just one late model and one pro race under our belts before we head to Hickory this weekend, but what do you think? I mean, as far as you personally, what are your goals for the Cars Tour and your role in the Cars Tour here in 2024?
Well, as we've seen, you know, with the new ownership, the amount that the series itself has grown is insane, and it's only getting better. So that makes our jobs in here that much more exciting, because, and especially for me with the marketing and digital content, you know, I get to be creative and have fun with it, and, you know, for me this year, my biggest goal is I really, really, really want to showcase all of these guys that we have racing with us, guys and gals, week in and week out. And I want to showcase not just their at-track personalities, but just who they are and why you should be a fan of them and why you should support them. And then also at the same time, I really want to make it a big point to give back to our fans this year. And we've got a couple ideas in the works with a few sponsors and running some giveaways and things like that. I just really want to get the fans involved as much as possible and get them excited about what we're doing, because, you know, at the end of the day, we can do all we want to do on the back end here, but if there aren't fans and drivers and teams that are excited about what we're doing and want to participate in what we're doing, then it's pointless for us. So I just really want to showcase in the best way possible all that this tour is and everything about it that I love personally, that I think everyone else will love too, and give these drivers a platform to show their personalities and make a way for themselves and get the fans excited about what we're doing.
Before I let you go, I have to ask, and you might decline, but give us one fact about your uncle that nobody knows.
One fact about Dale that nobody knows.
Or something, just something goofy.
I don't even...
This will be the litmus test to see if he actually listens to the podcast like he says he does, right?
I might be in the same boat as the rest of you guys, and I also would like to know a fun fact about Dale that nobody knows.
Well, I think
I think it's pretty.
I mean, it's very evident that he's very passionate about short track racing. I mean, that's been evident with everything he's done with the late model team. Let me ask you this then. We won't talk. Give me your thoughts on Mason Diaz driving the number 8 this weekend in place of Carson Quapel, with him making his debut in a Junior Motorsports Xfinity car at Martinsville. Talk a little bit about your thoughts about how you think Mason will do this weekend at Hickory.
I think Mason will do really well. I think Mason is extremely talented, and obviously the 8 is great equipment, and Brian and all of those guys are awesome, and they're smart. So I think, and Mason does really well at Hickory. He won our throwback race last year. So I think that that'll be a good pairing this weekend. And I think Mason will do really well. And I hope that he can take this opportunity and make something out of it for himself as well.
Has Carson Ellidge inquired about driving the 8 car in a practice or a test session at all?
People ask me all the time, and they're like, "Oh, you want to get in the late model?" Or I actually, here's a closing out story. This is perfect. So last Saturday night, I'm at the Pockets and Brews in Claremont, North Carolina. Fantastic place, by the way.
Home of Landon Huffman.
And the story involves Landon Huffman. I think I might have possibly signed myself up for a limited race at Hickory at some point this year. I don't know when, and there has been no exchange of funds or anything like that, but we did discuss it, and I did say that I wanted to do it. So there is a possibility. You heard it here first, but I also won't be surprised if I chicken out and bail either.
Do you need a spotter?
I know exactly who to call. I will also be calling you for a wrap as well.
All right. Deal. Well, I knew Boo Carlisle was trying to get you to drive a street stock last year. Any rumblings
too
to that? Maybe doing a street stock in the Stars series with Boo Carlisle?
I would love to drive a street stock. And Keely and I also have been discussing purchasing some Crown Vicks and racing those at Hickory. So we've got a couple options on the table.
All right. Well, so you got a driver's suit, you got a helmet, you'll race whatever has four wheels. So
yeah,
Has
gear bag, will travel, right? Is that what they say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carson, we could talk for another hour, but I know that you're busy. I know it's race week. You're trying to get things wrapped up. And thank you so much for taking a little bit of time to chat with us here on the Stickered Up podcast. And we will see you at Hickory on Friday and Saturday.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. We'll have to do it again soon.
That's Carson Ellidge with the Cars Tour. Brandon Willard has the caution flag out. We'll come down pit road. Sticker up. We return. We will recap and close out this edition. You're listening to the Stickered Up podcast.
Stickered Up, official podcast of the Cars Tour. GXS Wraps is your one stop for all your vehicle and motorsports graphics needs. Since 2018, GXS Wraps has offered turnkey solutions including design, printing, and installation of premium final graphics for fleet vehicles, personal vehicles, and race cars. 100% of our services offered are completed at our 4,800 square foot facility located in Apex, North Carolina. Check us out on the web, gxswraps.com, or give us a call, 919-213-0371, to get started on your next wrap. GXS Wraps, the official graphics partner of the Cars Tour and the Stickered Up podcast. Adam Zirkle, Performance Technologies, video overlays powered by Racetrays. Compare your driving line around the track against the best and see how you stack up against the competition. They get every lap, every car. Available at every Cars Tour event. New for 2022, Trackside IT services, and they can set up a network exclusive to your needs at the racetrack on race weekends. Contact Adam Zirkle, 434-222-8947. That's 434-222-8947.
Hey, this is Deke McCaskill, driver of 08 per-year Tankline Chevrolet. You're listening to Stickered Up Podcast with Stephen Dunn.
White flag, this edition of the Stickered Up Podcast, the official podcast of the Z-Max Cars Tour presented by Sound Gear. We head to Hickory Motor Speedway this weekend, the Tough Shed 250. Again, cars will be on track Friday afternoon for practice starting at 2 o'clock. They'll go to roughly 6:30, and then cars are back on track on Saturday afternoon. The late model stock cars will take to the track for their first practice at 11 o'clock. They'll alternate with the pros until 12:35. Grandstands open at 3 o'clock. Single car qualifying for the late model stock cars takes place at 4:30, 5 o'clock for the pro late models, and then the cars will be gridded for a fan fest, which goes from 6 to 6:45. Pre-race ceremonies at 7 o'clock, driver introductions at 7. Brandon Willard will wave the green flag for the Tough Shed 250 at 7:30, 100 laps for the pro late models, 150 laps for the late model stock cars. Looking at prices for this weekend, general admission for adults, $25. Military teens and seniors, 20. Ages 5 to 12, 10. Children under 5 are free. Race day admission, that price jumps up to 30, 25, 10. And children under 5 will be free. If you can't make it to Hickory Motor Speedway this weekend, we encourage you to watch it streaming live with our friends at Flow Racing. Want to thank those those folks that help Stickered Up come to you each and every week. Our friends at Pereer Tank Lines, Adam Zirkle Performance Technologies, GeoCut, GSX Wraps, and also our friends here at Broadcasting Experts, Morgan Patrick, for making us sound so good each and every week. We also want to thank our guest via the GSX Wraps hotline today from the Cars Tour, Ms. Carson Ellidge. That's the checkered flag on this edition of the Stickered Up podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Dunn.
Be sure to share this podcast. New episodes of Stickered Up will be available wherever you download your podcasts.